Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection anywhere. Went in there this week, stocked up. Have some people over this weekend. I'm ready. And I got a nice wide variety, too. Soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar, I stocked up. The pickle bar is second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I almost sold the place out the other day. All right. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hubbell's Wharf. Our play-by-play call of the day, one that would make Carrie Underwood proud.
Martin Jones plays it over for Braun. Wilson stops it. Comes out for Ekholm. Stop. Rebound. Fisher scores. Mark Fisher scores. Yeah. Go in. At 11-12 in the third overtime. The Predators have tied the series. It's a 4-3 win. Holy cow. At 1:03 Central Time, the Predators end this one.
Which is 2:03 in the morning. SJ cut out at 12:30. I couldn't go any further. I fell asleep in the first overtime. I woke up just in time to see San Jose score a disputed goal that was then wiped out. And I said, all right, hang on to the end of the first overtime, see if they score. And I made it, and I did not see the second overtime or the third. But yes, that is the great singer, Carrie Underwood, that is her husband, Mike Fisher, a longtime veteran in the National Hockey League. He scored two goals last night, including the game winner. So there you go. The Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. Sean, during the news, ran into another room, picked up paper and a pen.
Ready to go.
Because he's going to take notes. Kevin Herr, who over the, you know, if you ask why Kevin Herr still works for a living, it's because he has not been, because he's never been very good at the windows.
You mean to tell me when you guys were on the course on Wednesday at the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, he did not ask you to give DJ a call just to kind of get a little, you know, a little inside scoop, a head start on everyone else?
No, but he's listening right now. I can guarantee that.
You bet he is. Absolutely.
Right? And I can tell you that over the years, his lack of success at the windows has caused him to continue to be employed because it's been of necessity. It's amazing how the house almost always wins, except in the case of Leicester City. And by the way, the number of people that came up and were impressed that we talked about Leicester City, I was kind of taken aback by that the other day. All right. So, let's bring him in. From Louisville, he went over to Churchill Downs this afternoon for the workout. Dick Girardi, DJ, great to hear you again, my friend.
Steve, what's happening, buddy?
Not much. Let's get to Mohaven. Before I get to Mohaven, I want to actually go a different direction. We could sit here and speculate a year ago as to what a Triple Crown winner would mean for the sport. In reality now, obviously, 11 months later, what did it mean for the sport to have their Triple Crown winner?
Yeah, I think it's given the sport a great feeling around it, Steve, first of all. And numerically, there's a number of things you can judge it by. The Saratoga meet, which immediately followed the Belmont Stakes last year by about 6 weeks, was up dramatically. They had to hold the crowd down for the Traverse for American Ferro to 50,000. They probably could have had 70 or 100, who knows how many. They had 15,000 people to watch them there the day before. Gallup, which just doesn't happen. The numbers, the betting handle at Saratoga meet was up dramatically. the Breeders' Cup broadcast, his last race on Halloween, that ratings doubled over the previous year. This year, some real good numerical measures of what it's meant is the betting handle overall, which has been going down fairly steadily for a decade, is up 4% nationally and up 8% in April. And I attribute almost all of it to the American Pharoah effect. People were just watching the game, casual people that hadn't watched it, and people maybe that had drifted away that came back and said, hey, this is pretty cool. So, yeah, I don't think any of us really knew, but I think now you can get a sense of it meant a lot for the game. And those numbers, I think, tell a story.
Nyquist is the on-the-board favorite, 7-for-7 so far. Mo Haven had been terrific till the Florida Derby. What happened?
I think a couple things to Mo Haven. One, by the numbers, the speed figures that I use, he was never really as good as the hype was one. Nor was he as bad as he looked in the Florida Derby. I think something happened to him. That day. I think he's better than that. But I think he was beating suspect fields, not having to run particularly fast. And he ran up against an opponent who I never really liked and kept finding reasons to beat or try to beat and never could in Nyquist. And Nyquist just ran away from Mo Haven in the Florida Derby, was never fast as a two-year-old. I said, well, you know what? They're going to pass him. He's going to be like the ninth grader who dominated, and by the 12th grade he was the last man on the bench. And that just hasn't happened, Steve. Nyquist is the one that's gotten better. They haven't been able to pass him. See, I think Mo Haven was probably a little more hype than reality because he cost a couple million at the sales and owned by the Sheiks.
Right.
And Nyquist was probably better than his reality looked. So here we are now 5 weeks after the Florida Derby, and it's completely turned. Mo Haven was the favorite that day. Obviously, Nyquist is going to be the favorite on Saturday.
Yeah, Mo Haven is, but interesting. I've read enough about this. Where they said, you know, where you start in the Florida Derby, how quickly you get to the first turn. It was sloppy that day. So I've seen a litany of excuses. Are they legit or are they excuses?
I don't think they are legit. I do think that he's better than he ran. So I think he's got some excuse. And I think it's fair to say he ran farther and he probably didn't care for that track. And that may not have been the best part of the track. If he'd been beaten a length or two, I'd go, okay. He didn't have anything.
He finished fourth, I think.
Yeah, and a bad fourth. Nyquist just ran away from him. Now, there's some physical thing that happened to him that day. Here's what I would come back to, Steve. Even on his best races, and he obviously had some really good races, they weren't all that great by the numbers.
Right.
So it's like it's the old, do you want to draw to an inside straight when even if you hit it, you might not win?
Right.
That's sort of the way I look at Mo Haven at the moment. Could he win? Sure. Now, he's clearly got talent, but I like the horses that have already shown they can run fast enough to win. Then maybe they have a bad race. You come up with a reason why, and then they're going to come back to their best stuff. Even if he comes back to his best, that might not be good enough.
Nyquist, of course, has Doug O'Neill training him and gets the 13th hole. 13's not bad to stick the favorite in, is it?
No, it's fine. It's my theory on the Derby, since they've gone to these 20-horse fields, is the higher the better, just to stay away from the chaos. The only horse in like the last half or 5 years that's won inside a double-digit number was California Crow, and he was just so good it didn't matter where he started from.
Right.
But, yeah, typically it's been much better to be in the auxiliary gate, which is 15 and up, or somewhere near the outside of the main gate, which is where Nyquist is. So I think it's a good thing. We spend a lot more time on post positions than we probably should in the Derby, just because, A, it's the Derby, there's 20 of them, and man, we run out of things to talk about. The reality is, after like 2 seconds, they sort themselves out anyway. Everybody forgets where they started. But if you, to me, that's a better number than a lower number, especially for a horse like Nyquist, whose style is that he's fast enough. He's going to be probably in the top 3 or 4 under any circumstances. And if that's the case, you'd rather be outside than inside.
A great horse can bail out a mediocre jockey, I think. I also think a great jockey can do wonders for a horse. What kind of jockey is Mario Gutierrez?
He's good. He won the race 4 years ago, and I'll have another. He's just not a guy who gets a lot of national pub. And, Steve, I would agree with the first part of your statement and disagree with the second. It's called horse racing for a reason. It ain't called jockey racing.
Right.
If the horse isn't fast, the jockey isn't making them fast. Now, where jockeys come in is understanding the tactics of the race, when to go, when not to go. And certainly the really good ones are really good for a reason.
Yeah.
But if they're on a horse that's slow, well, they might see the hole open, but the horse isn't fast enough to get there.
Can't hit the accelerator.
Yeah, so it's like when you're on a highway. It's one thing you can see to go, but if you got no juice in your car, you're going nowhere. If all things are equal, would you rather have Johnny Velasquez or Javier Castellano or Gary Stevens on your horse? Absolutely.
Sure.
No question. But if you told them, like, it's funny, I was just thinking, most of the derbies in recent years have been won by jockeys with derby experience, which makes sense. Well, Stuart Elliott didn't have any derby experience in 2004. Right. He just happened to be on a rocket ship named Smarty Jones. So any of the jockeys would have won. Because the horse was just so much better, unless he messed it up, which Stewart clearly did not. So any jockey, generally speaking, can more mess it up than help.
Tell me a little bit about Exaggerator, because Exaggerator's 8-1 on the board.
Probably the best prep of all. The Santa Anita Derby was awesome. He won by 6 and change, got the best speed figure of the year. But having said that, it was in the mud. He likes the mud. We're getting a fast track on Saturday. The pace set it up for a deep closer. They ran too fast too soon. And he's tried Nyquist twice, and Nyquist has beaten him both times on the square, so he's got to prove he can beat Nyquist.
Baffert's won a few races in a row in the Triple Crown Series.
Yes, he has.
And he's got Gary Stevens aboard more spirit. Tell him, what do you like, and what do you question about that horse?
Well, I mean, I like the fact that he's run 7 times. He's been first or second every time.
Okay.
What I don't like is he doesn't have this, like, big move like you saw from American Pharoah or California Chrome, the kind of move that just breaks races open. He's more of a grinder. I do think he's a contender. Baffert obviously knows how to win the race. You mentioned Gary Stevens. I think between the two of them, they've won it 7 times. So that's always nice to have on your side, have that kind of experience. But Bob is a pretty easy guy to read, Steve. When we were down here last year, it was just so obvious how much he liked American Pharoah.
These horses have two things in common. They've never run in a 20-horse race, and they've never run a mile and a quarter. What does the extra quarter mile mean, and how do you get a read as to how the last quarter mile plays out just based on everything you put into this?
My theory is that none of the horses really want to go a mile and a quarter. So I don't even look at it. I know there are people that spend like hours and hours trying to figure that out. Because they've never been this far, and in most cases, unless they run the Belmont Stakes, they won't go this far again. I just look at it as, all right, who's the most likely horse to get to the eighth pole in front? Because generally speaking, that horse wins anyway, because they're all slowing down rather than speeding up. It's all an optical illusion generally when you see some horse closing.
Right.
It's usually the horse in front is getting tired.
Yeah, they're running out of gas.
Exactly. Yeah, and it makes it look very different than what you think you're seeing. I just try to find a horse who's going to make – I want to get the horse in front to the quarter pole and make that first move and open up, like California Chrome. American Pharoah took a little longer to get there last year because he wasn't really physically ready for the Derby one because he's so talented. I don't take that into consideration. The 20-horse field is that just one of those things you can't. It's like when you play the great pressing team. You can try to practice all you want until you actually get out there and play against it. You don't have a great feel for it. Same with a 20-horse field. You can't replicate it. You can't even. You're not using 20 of your horses to go out there and stage a fake race for your star. That's not going to happen. So, yeah, and you just hope you get lucky. I mean, you just hope that you don't end up in the morass of horses all going for the same place at the same time.
The Oaks is coming up on Friday. It doesn't quite get the publicity the Derby does, but it's a great day of racing, and it's a signature event unto itself. Songbird is out of this, right?
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
So, who gets the front in that? Is it Rachel's Valentina? Who is it?
Well, it's a great race, and what probably a lot of people wouldn't know outside the sport. It's the second biggest attended race of the year, race day of the year. They'll have 125,000 people there tomorrow. then another 170 or so on Saturday. So it's a huge day here in Kentucky. Catherine Sophia is locally owned in Philly. Chuck Zackney, who is the guy behind the Fleet Alex group, owns them.
Is that John Service Training?
That is exactly right. He trained Smarty Jones. So you got that combination from 04 and 05. And to me, she's the most talented horse in the race. She finished third in the Ashland, her first loss last out. But that was not the race they were pointing for. This was. And without Songbird, to me, she has the most talent. Just some questions about the distance, a mile and eight. She's by a sprinter, and she looks like a sprinter. So you wonder about that part of it. But talent is there. And you mentioned Rachel Valentina. She's going to be the favorite probably. And she is a daughter of Rachel Alexandra, who won this race in 2009 by, count them, Steve, 20 lengths on the way to being the horse of the year that year. They bought her right after the race for $10 million. She won the Preakness. She won the Haskell. She won everything. I mean, she had what I could think you could say is one of the great years in horse racing history. And so this is a daughter of Rachel, so a lot of people will be into that.
This is one of Todd Pletcher's.
Yeah. That is right. And Todd has had not a lot of success in the Derby, won for 43, but he certainly knows how to win the Oaks. He's won it several times.
And I think, is Johnny V going to ride Rachel's Valentina?
Johnny V is, in fact, riding Rachel's Valentina. And Javier Castellano, who's been the Eclipse Award winner as a leading jockey in the country, is riding Catherine Sophia. So, and you like this, Catherine Sophia is named after Chuck Zackney's niece, who is a freshman soccer player at Rowan. Yeah. Her name is Catherine McCary, so it's kind of a neat story.
All right, so Dick, on Sunday, how do you want to play it?
Yeah, I'm thinking Nyquist, Steve. I didn't like him at all last year. I like him at the beginning of this year, but I'm always willing to change my mind off of what I see. And to me, if this was the third race at Parks, he can't lose. He's 7-for-7, 4 Grade 1 wins, Breeders' Cup. I mean, it's actually a better resume than American Pharoah brought to the race last year. Now, American Pharoah had more talent. He'd been running faster, but he didn't have this kind of overall resume. And the rest of them don't have anything like that. I mean, they win a race here or there. So I think he's absolutely the most logical winner. I'm not thrilled with it as the favorite, but if I don't like him, I could take a dartboard out, start throwing darts. I wouldn't have a clue who to pick after him.
Right. We'll leave it at that. It's great to hear you.
Always nice hearing from you, sir.
All right. Thanks, pal. Appreciate
See you, Steve.
It. As always, you're the best. Dick Girardi, Churchill Downs. Did you get all that?
Sure did. Locked in.
Kevin put even the house on a 50-1. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place. The Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us.
here on a Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15. In Hummel's Wharf. Playoffs coming up tonight. Islanders and Lightning. Tampa Bay up 2-1. Cavs at Atlanta tonight. Cavs up 2-0. Thunder Spurs. That is also tonight. Tied at a game apiece. Phillies in action tonight. 6:35 the airtime here on WKOK. Looking to bounce back after the St. Louis series. Pirates looking to bounce back. They play at St. Louis.
Here they got Chan Ho-Gung back in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, they'll get him back tonight. Outscored by the Cubs 20-5. Awfully impressive.
Speaking of the Cubs, now up 8-2, top 7 in Wrigley over Washington.
The Cubs are playing great. They really are. And it also included Monday night, where it was friends and family night at the ballpark, because that's all that showed up. I thought it was 1974 all over again. Back in the 70s, in the 80s, I really questioned Pittsburgh as a baseball market. They had some great teams in the 70s. They dropped 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 million. They became the first team ever to not sell out playoff games. Well, now, ever since they've had PNC Park, people have come out in droves. Monday night was not one of those nights.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. A Penn State basketball transfer coming in, a 7-footer. We'll talk about that in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. After I was done playing a round of golf with Dave Ritchie, Kevin Ur, and Jennifer Wakeman. And by the way, Jennifer Wakeman plays a really good round of golf. I went over to Brewers Outlet. Stocked up. Big weekend coming up around here. It's commencement weekend. That great quote from years gone by. Free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
So you'll be yelling that about this time tomorrow, give or take an hour.
5:45. I can feel the color returning to my face after 18 years. kind of felt like there are times where I felt like Charlton Heston as they were taking the check out of my cold, dead fingers. Come on. Oh, 18 years writing checks. Suddenly I feel like I can breathe again. Notice how the smiles return to my face. And I said to myself, let's stock up. And some of it's for the guests. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Water, soda, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and out every day. Enjoyed a bag on the way home the other night. And the pickle bar is second to none. Love the barrel pickles. Love the dill pickles. They probably were out by the time I was done. They've restocked. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. And by the way, that is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Plenty of free parking. Plenty of help to get the cases out to the car. Stock up for the weekend now. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I know you have the selection for Bozo of the Day.
Yeah, it's actually a former Super Bowl champion. Played with Peyton Manning on the Indianapolis Colts championship team back in 2007. He's now a wide receivers coach for Texas A&M. Aaron Moorhead should have thought twice before hitting send on Twitter earlier this week. He must have been home, and maybe he had a couple of pops and probably had shouldn't have had the cell phone nearby, but he was kind of taking aim at a possible, well, they say one of the best high school quarterbacks right now in Texas, a kid by the name of Tate Martell. Well, he decommitted from Texas A&M after Aaron Moorhead went on Twitter and was talking about, you know, he's bemoaning a lack of loyalty. And, yeah, Martell joined an ever-growing string of quarterbacks to back away from Texas A&M as Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray each left the school after last season.
I believe two other recruits also after this decided to back out as well. These are verbal commitments that we're talking about here. I've talked about Twitter before. I'll get into it again here briefly. Here's the issue on Twitter. I'm doing a show like this, and say, for example, I make a factual mistake or my opinion's off base and a new set of facts come in, and I can then have the ability verbally to walk it back. You can hear in my tone that I was wrong. You can hear in my tone I feel badly about it. You can hear in my tone as I walk it back that... Now, if the exact same people are listening as they were the first time you fouled up, you're okay. There are some people that won't be, but you know, they'll still be, for the most part, the same listener group. There may be a few changes here and there, but they'll hear you walk it back, and they hear that there's some remorse, and for the most part, people sit back, and they'll say, yep, okay. I can see why he thought that and why, you know, what his reasoning was. When you do it on Twitter, and it's black and white, and 140 characters or less, once it gets out there and it's emboldened in black and white for everybody to read, I think it becomes very difficult to walk it back because it's still sitting there for everybody to see.
No, you can delete the tweet, but once it's out there, forget it. It's out there.
No, I mean, but people take a screenshot of it and they keep it. And they put it into every news story and so forth. And you're reading, go, evidently, he says that he made the statement about loyalty. And he says, look, I wasn't talking about that.
Yeah, his quote, I wasn't even talking about who everyone thinks I'm talking about. I didn't even know. Hashtag bad timing. Hashtag still no loyalty.
All right, but then the problem is he had subsequent tweets, and it was the hashtags he put in where he sat back and went, well, what are you doing here? That's the problem. It wasn't the original, hey, if he had just left it, wasn't even referring to that situation, didn't even know about it, and had left it at that, I actually think he's okay at that point. Where you know, I think reasonable people will sit back and go, oh, okay. Now, you know, inadvertent. Just bad, you know, just a coincidence, nothing more than that. And people would buy that. Not everybody. You're always going to have the cynical that won't, but most people would buy it. But he then kept tweeting and then kept hashtagging. And the hashtags with each one, you said, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Like, slow down. Whoa. And that's the problem. 140 characters or less. Can't read tone. Can't. I remember one time I interviewed an author of a book. This is when I was doing the old show, 15 Minutes on Channel 3. It was a summer replacement show for Patty Satalia's Take Note. And for, well, I think it was like 8 years I did this show. And it, you know, only I would say one out of every 15 topics I did was had something to do with sports. The other 14 had to do with a wide variety of things. I mean, I remember doing programs on Gettysburg, programs on the Susquehanna River, and the pros and cons of the river about the coal industry. I mean, I did a lot of different shows.
Yeah, I get Channel 3 in my lineup at home, and yeah, I saw you on there a lot.
Mm-hmm. And what happened was that I had an author on the show who wrote a book, and this is going back years now, so this is not recent, okay? The book was entitled Being Digital. That was the book, Being Digital. Now, I remember he was extremely rude to the crew, which I didn't like. You know, and as you know, I'm a very loyal individual. And he would, I mean, he was going to walk out and leave because they were trying to reset the lighting to make him look better. And he looked at the crew and he said, hey, you know, he says, you people don't start moving and being professionals. He says, your pumpkin's out the door. I'm sitting there thinking, who do you think you are? Hey, I'm sorry. Did we forget to kiss someone's ring on the way in? Guess what? You know, I could pick out one person who won't. That's me. Now we start the interview. And as I'm doing the interview, part of it is, now this was when email was now first really kicking into high gear, to give everyone perspective about when this took place. And in the book, he discussed how he emails 4 hours a day. So I asked him about emailing 4 hours a day. And he discusses a lot of it, you know, as to what it does, how he stays in contact. And then I was going to do a pro and con question part. So I started with the pro part. Yeah, I like to start with the positive part. And it was, what does it do to allow you to keep in touch with more people than ever before? Oh, and he takes off and he goes on and on and on and on. Right? And that's a legitimate question because, you know, there are pros and cons to everything. I said, now let's take the opposite side. He goes, well, what would that be? And I said, does it start promoting impersonal relationships because now it's just done in print back and forth instead of promoting one-to-one face-to-face contact with people? And he didn't like the question. And I just thought it was just a good pro and con question. That's all. In other words, you can address it and say, oh, you know, oh, no, 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 no. It actually allows me to stay. I mean, you can approach it. I stay in touch with more people than ever before. I said, before with just phones, you're limited. And, you know, whatever. No, he didn't answer that. He got really kind of not nasty about it, but was not enamored with the question. And he's pointing at me, and I said, this is what I'm talking about. He said, what do you mean by that? He says, in other words, we're here having a conversation. I said, I can read in your face and in your body language that you're not enamored with the question and the topic of discussion. I said, you can't really do that in a printed email. Well, he didn't like that either. But that was my way of getting back at him for being nasty to the crew.
It sounds like it was one of those shows where there could have easily been an after show.
Right? Well, I deliberately said that to him because he was so nasty to our people, and he was getting nasty on the show. I thought, okay, True Colors time. Because I don't care if anybody buys your book. I really don't. But that is now back to Twitter. 140 characters or less. Again, it's that black and white part. You can't read a facial expression. You can't read a body language. You can't tell, for example, there are times where people will put down LOL or they'll put down he to indicate, look, I was kidding. You don't have to do that when you're speaking to someone because they can hear in your voice that little playful, yeah, you know, or if it happens to be a visual medium or you're face to face with somebody, they can read your facial expression, that little smirk in your face, whatever. Oh, yeah, like he's just taking the knife, just turning a little bit. All right. And having fun. That, when you have black and white, and fewer characters to express it, you get 140 or less, it then becomes a lot more difficult sometimes to read what the intent is. And then if it's been misinterpreted, or in this case, he claims it's a coincidence, it then becomes very hard to walk it back as opposed to doing something face-to-face with someone. You go, hey, whoa, I didn't mean that. Hey. You put your hands up. You look at it and say, hey, whoa, I was just kidding. Seriously, I did not mean that at all. And how many times has that happened? And everybody goes, okay, all right, I see where you're going here. Sorry about that. And everything's cool. That's because you not only back it up with your words, but you back it up with your tone. You back it up with your facial and body expression. And they can tell, right, yay, okay. Hey, I shouldn't have said that. Hey, I apologize. Sorry about that. Twitter takes part of that away because I think it's very difficult to walk back. You know, same thing with any social media. It's just harder to walk back when you're typing words. And Twitter has great uses. 90 to 95% of it is just, you know, hey, had barbecue tonight. It's awesome. Okay. Don't care. But fine, I'm glad you did.
Well, it's like Instagram, people taking pictures of their plates of dinner,
yeah,
kind of thing. Yeah,
plates at dinner, sure. Or, hey, look, you know, we're in Paris. Here's a picture of the Eiffel Tower. Great, fabulous. Love it.
Like you tomorrow. You'll be on your Instagram account tomorrow at the graduation party you're going to hold at your place, and you'll take a picture of the, you know, bucket of brews from Brewer's Outlet over in the corner to let everybody know you're going to have a good time. Or maybe not.
I told her years ago, I said, when you graduate, the party, I said, you can think in your own mind, the party's for you. I can tell you right now, the party is for me. I said, in my own little world. My own little world. Oh, my goodness. Excuse me while I relish the moment. 18 years.
Well, no, when the Texas A&M story came out a couple of days ago with that coach, we know that since James Franklin and his coaching staff came in a couple of years ago, they use Twitter a lot, which is great. They're getting the word out with their brand to future kids that could possibly join the football team. That's what it's all about.
And young people use it extensively.
Absolutely.
And as I started out this segment, said there are a lot of pluses to anything, but there are also some minuses as well. And let me give you an example: pluses and minuses. Radio, huge pluses. Doing a game, communication and conveying the excitement, painting a picture. All right. But here's the negative. You actually can't see it. Now let's go to TV. Positive. You can see it. Negative. Announcers don't always talk about the game. Right? Yeah, because you can see the game. They're talking about other things many of the times. Meanwhile, on radio, we're always talking about the game. So each one has dramatic pluses, and each one also has a minus. I mean, that's just a simple thing is what I do play-by-play. Well, I mean, there are plenty of pluses with Twitter, and there are a couple of negatives as well. It's something you have to use properly. And what's interesting is that as an assistant coach, it really is one of his jobs, in my opinion, to teach his players how to use it properly. So that means he has to use it properly. Because I think that's one of his jobs as a teacher. Okay, coaches should be teachers. Coaches should be educators. So they should be educating you on a wide variety of things beyond just football, basketball, and whatever. By the way, Satchel Pierce, 7-footer, Virginia Tech, 2 years of eligibility remaining, from Barberton, Ohio, transferring to Penn State. He will have 2 years of eligibility remaining. He'll have to sit out the upcoming year. All right. Take a break. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us. Well, obviously, I know I've had a good time with a few things here today and also threw out a lot of information as well. Truth is a very important and very powerful word. And if you are not afraid of the truth, you have no problem with the truth coming out. And it's just important that you get it, and then once you get it, then you make decisions on it. Playing games, doing things the game-playing part just delays having truth come out. And let it come out, and whatever the consequences. As I said, I knew Joe for 32 years. I was confident as to how he handled decisions then. Over the 32 years, I knew him, and was always comfortable with decisions he made, and his judgment. So you're going to have people that already hated to begin with, and all stories like this will do is just reinforce that. But truth is the most important part. Just get to it. Okay? I've said that. How many years have I said that on this show? Yeah. Just let the truth come out. Just go for it. And then after that, once it does, make decisions one way or the other. Wraps it up for the week. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Nyquist, the favorite tomorrow for the Derby. Our thanks to Josh Getzoff of the Penguins Network. And to Dick Girardi at the Derby. Next week, we'll be broadcasting live from Sean's house. I don't know why. Somebody thought it was a good idea. I didn't.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK, Sunbury.